it's back. I couldn't find, the truth of the matter was I couldn't find this. I thought it was called like Cue the Sniper Girl or something. I couldn't, it actually had the original name, which is Golden Touch, but we know it as Cue the Sniper Girl. We're gonna take you around the whole world. Inner Saboteur. We all know what that gun is for. Still, almost a year later, I'm still working on the lyrics. Now, as we all know, I do like a little bit of a talky thing in the first 10 minutes of the show before we get to the meat and potatoes. And that's no different today, but we're trying something new. I don't know what to call the segment now, what I call Bring Back My Girls or whatever, but it's essentially where we recap the recap. Because after it, while I was editing, when I listened to the show, I was like, oh, I have all these thoughts that either I didn't finish or I didn't get to, or I wish I would have said, or I want to challenge people. And that's what we're going to do these first 10 minutes. First of all, we're going to bring Nathan sitting right here. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. I didn't know if I should speak or not.
Well, no, it's all right. You know, you did the right thing, Nathan. You did the right. You're not like Lori, who will make it known that she's there, regardless of anything. But if you want to enjoy extra content, like people are going to get this show early. They're going to get it without commercials. And by the way, if you just want to support LGBTQ media, go over to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at whatever level you want. I don't care. Just get more content the higher the level. So to do that, patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. But I've brought back, bring back my girl, Nathan Patrick Brown. Nathan, how are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm a little nervous, but I'm good.
I don't know why you're nervous, because I said there's four things I want to talk about. I gave you three of the four topics. And I've asked you this before, but I'll ask it again. Do I just sound like a total Aussie when I'm talking to you on the phone?
Totally. I'm like, where are you from? Are you from Lakemba? Like, you sound like an Aussie.
What do I do well on the Aussie accent? Like, I don't know.
I think you've got the register correct.
Uh-huh. The register.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, by the way, Nathan, you've got to be honest with me here, because Rulaska, you know, recap's not about honesty, all right? Recap is about lies and deception.
It is?
Well, you didn't tell you this? Yeah, yeah. But Rulaska Thoughts is all about honesty. Okay. And people should know that my love language for Nathan is sending him nothing but content about Australia. And does this annoy you? Or are you... What is your take on this?
I wonder about your algorithm, because I think... You know, you got a few really good ones like, Aussies do this and Aussies don't know what this is. And Aussies in America are blown away by this. And they were really good. And then I've noticed the quality is sort of getting lower, because I think TikTok's algorithm is just sending everything to you that's about that. And like that last one you sent yesterday, like, and I looked at it, it only had like 200 likes. It was about the hat. It's just someone being like, Australians have weird hats. And it was just like, And I looked at the comments and all the comments were like, we have that in America. We have that in Europe. And I was like, this is low tier, Joe. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I just said, whatever. If it's Australian, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no quality control. It's like, does it have to do with Australia? Yes. Nathan's going to get this. Okay. Nathan's going to get this. And you just reminded me of something too. I'm going to talk about in a second. But what's really funny is, you know, because I talked to Jeremy, and Jeremy and I have a lot of conversation. By the way, people who don't know, Jeremy is a Dutch friend of mine. We have a lot of conversations about the Netherlands and the U.S. I'm not even being funny. About 75 to 80% of my content has purely only to do with the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of it just is in Dutch, straight up Dutch. They're not even doing like, Americans do this. And no, I get like straight up Dutch content, okay? And a big portion of them are like, you know, especially when it's like, this is something that happens in the U.S. that would blow the Netherlands away. No, I'm sorry, the other way. Something that happens in the Netherlands that would blow Americans away. A lot of those I'm like, no. Like, there's one yesterday that I saw that was a person at a restaurant in the Netherlands. But they were like, this person was a total asshole. They were like, oh, can you split the check like five ways, but only put the drinks on this person? They're using all these shenanigans, right? And the waitress was like, no. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, that would happen in the U.S. too. Like the U.S. they'll do like, okay, we'll split it two, three, maybe four ways, right? But once you start getting complicated, they're like, no, we're good. Thanks. We're not going to split the checks. Especially in the age of Venmo and Zelle. Like, oh, you guys don't have those, right?
We don't have them.
Do you have anything like that, though? Like just an Australian version?
I think we've got Beam. Have you got Beam?
No. I know in the Netherlands they have like Tikkie or something like that.
I just think transferring someone money is just so easy here anyway, just through bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we don't really need those apps.
Well, Zelle only works with banks. In other words, your bank comes to your bank. Anyway, the point is this, but I will tell you this, because I'm only keeping on for 10 minutes, and where are we? I get 6 minutes. But here's the deal is I saw something online that I thought would be like what we were saying, like, no, this is stupid. This doesn't really happen.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys eat cake with your hands?
In an outdoor setting, yes.
This is the weirdest thing. An American posted that. This is actually in the UK. But then the Australians were chiming in and saying they do this too on the Discord. This is a plug for Patreon because these are the kinds of weird convos that happen on Discord. I posted this TikTok that I saw where an American was blown away because the British, the UK people were reading her because she uses a fork with the cake. And by the way, for Americans, I'm not talking like a cupcake. I'm talking like a full slice of cake. Mm-hmm. And she had these pictures of like British people like holding the big piece of cake in their hand and eating it.
Yeah, it's a finger food.
Frosting on your hands?
Well, you serve it in a napkin, so you just use the napkin to wipe your hands.
I have, in my 25 years on this planet, I have never heard of anything like this. But Nathan, this is not why we brought you on here. And I only have a few minutes with you. I promise you 10 minutes. Okay? So here's what I got. I have a couple of things. One, let's talk about Plain Jane. You said that I made this point that I think Plain Jane is this mastermind and she's trolling the girls. And you made this point, well, I don't think it's working because the girls are totally onto it. Correct?
Mm.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do recall that.
Okay.
I think there's levels to it, though. Like, she's clearly still impacting the girls. They see what's happening, but they're still getting rattled.
I'm saying she doesn't care.
Yeah.
I should have said this in the show. She doesn't give a shit if they know or not, whether she knows. She's playing to the audience and the producers. What the girls think of her ain't none of her business. You know, if they know she's trolling, if they don't know she's trolling, she does not care. She is not playing to the room. She is doing this 100% for the audience and for the producers. Okay, do you have any response to that?
I just do not like her. And so my worry is I can no longer be impartial with her.
Why not?
Because she turns me off completely. And so it's like that look she put up on the runway, I was like, yeah, it's fine. But like watching it, I was like, this fucking bitch. I was like, how dare she use that blue fabric? You know, like anything she does, I'm just going to be annoyed at. And I'm rolling my eyes at her throughout the episode.
I think that's a problem in Drag Race fandom is that people on the opposite end, they have their pet drag queens and that drag queen can do no wrong. And there are other people and they can do no right. The other day, you know, I had a little dinner after we recorded the Javi and Natalie thing. And my cousin Richard and his boyfriend came over and his boyfriend was talking to me and he was asking me all kinds of like, what do I think of this season? Blah, 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 blah. He actually asked me what I thought about Drag Race in general. And I told him, and this is the truth.
So go listen to the episode, mate.
He does listen. He's a big fan. I didn't want to get into this. He goes, I hope you don't mind. I'm fangirling right now. He said, because I listen to the show a lot and I want to ask you all these questions. And he goes, you know, what do you think of this? And I told him, I don't really know how to explain this to somebody because it sounds like it's a negative thing, but it really isn't. But I actually think I think I'm in a really good zone with the show in that the show is dead to me. You know, there's a certain point where like a frostbite gets so bad or a burn gets so bad that your nerves die and you just feel nothing. You don't even feel pain. Mm. You feel nothing.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I am. And I think, believe it or not, I think it's a good thing because I don't have these visceral connections to the drag queen where I'm like, oh, we must protect her at all costs or anything like that. I'm like, this week Plain Jane was good. This week playing, next week playing Jane could be awful and the worst human being ever. This week Dawn was amazing. I'm going to tell you something. I saw someone posted that, because again, this is actually a good thing to bring up on Rulaska Thoughts right now. Someone asked on the Discord, well, isn't it kind of weird that, you know, Tsunami Muse won a trip to Spain, but she can't leave the country because she's DACA. She can't do anything with it. Well, there was an answer and someone posted on the Discord. She said on Twitter that the Drag Race was amazing about this. And behind the scenes, they said, you know, we know you can't use this, so we're going to give you a $5,000 prize instead. And she got to keep the trip. And so she said, so I'm gifting the trip to Hershey Liqueur Jeté. And I'm being honest, I've already completely forgotten she existed.
Yeah. I sort of remember her. She has kids, remember?
Oh, yeah. But I can't tell you what she looked like. I can't tell you a thing about her. Anyway, yeah. So that's the plain Jane thing of it. Frida Kahlo, these are really quick things I want to say.
Diego Rivera's wife, is that how you introduced
Diego
her?
Diego Rivera's wife, Frida Kahlo. I started a point, and the point I was like, the show can be kind of racist, and like just it. And I think this is a longer, this actually be a whole Rulaska Thoughts. The way, especially with Latino and Asian cultures, they just jam them all together as one, like, pan-Asian, pan-Latino culture, which is funny because Spain isn't even part of, like, the Latinidad, you know? Spain is its own European, Western, white country. And Latin America is something completely different. But, like, oh, well, Frida Kahlo, you know, speak Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, but they're completely different things, you know? And then one more thing. I made this point. I was saying this is another errata thing. I didn't finish the point, which I was like, I was making a point about because Plain Jane was talking about how Russian parents and people can be very critical. And I said, any culture except for white people are critical of their children. Meaning I was going to finish that point with, because white people don't care about their fucking kids. That's why you're always seeing like, they'd be like, the kids just be out running around the streets all the time. No one cares. The parents don't care. They can go drop them off in the forest, you know, in the middle of the night. That's what they do. You know, in the Netherlands, they drop their 10-year-old kids in the forest and they just have to find their way back. It's called a dropping. And the whole, I'm telling you, I've learned so much about the Netherlands. Yes. Yes.
That sounds like a horror movie.
Yes. Why has no one written a Dutch horror movie about this? I don't know. And then the final point, so I can let you go. Oh my God, we're almost at 15 minutes.
It's okay.
The final point before I let you go is you said, and I heard this on the show and everything. You said on the show, you were like, why didn't Plasma use her little red shoes during a challenge if she could have used them there? And then it kind of slipped by me when I heard it. And I kind of, I don't know. And then when I was editing, I was like, that's a really weird thing to say. And then Jeremy called me this morning and was like, don't you think it was weird that Nathan said that she should have used, he goes, the shoes were clearly for like a 6-year-old, 7-year-old.
And he goes, not on the doll.
Yeah.
The dolls were bigger than you think. No. They're not like Barbie doll size. They were bigger.
Wait, hold on. You thought that shoe, you see, here's the thing. I was defending you. I was like, well, maybe Nathan meant, no. So you think that the shoe that Plasma held in her hand would fit in the doll? The doll would fit in that shoe?
The dolls were bigger than you think.
No.
They weren't to scale. I think, you know what? You like, she's a man dressed as a woman. She's got big feet. Yeah. She could have just elongated the shoe size on her persona, and then that would have been to scale. Look, the fact of the matter is, she shouldn't have packed the fucking shoes. I was just trying to come up with an idea of why they'd be useful.
Hold on for a second. I want to show you something. Here's a puppet. God. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
Puppet feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd fit. I have Crocs on right now. This is essentially what you were saying.
The shoes weren't that big.
That she should do. Right now I'm holding up a little puppet foot in Croc shoes. That's what you're saying you should have done. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, she should have waxed those shoes on that doll.
Did you have any... You listened back to the episode. Do you have any comments you wanted to make?
No.
What do you think of the... you know what I did notice, actually? And I don't know if you clocked this. You know, everyone should know, peek behind the curtain. We recorded Recap before I recorded the piece with Javi and Natalie. And I noticed in editing that you guys agreed a lot.
Yeah, I think there was a moment where I think they actually really liked Maya's look, whereas I didn't. But, like, I'm not, like, Christian, so I'm not just going to change my opinion based on what Natalie and Harvey say. So I'm just going to stand by that.
He's continuing the war. He's continuing the war.
It's just like Shade Girl.
All right, guys. Well, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, speaking of, we are going to have Natalie and Javi speaking about the world of doll design and all that jazz. We'll talk about that right after the break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way, big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. All right, everyone, we are back from the break, and we are here with the Mattel sisters, Natalie and Javi, who are designers for an unknown toy company. But you guys have been doing it for, like, a long time.
Long time.
Mm-hmm.
Was it weird? So we were talking about the design challenge, which was a toy, a doll design challenge this week on RuPaul's Drag Race. Was it weird? Okay, let me ask you this question. What that the girls did was anywhere close to what you guys do?
Well, I mean, coming up with a look,
yeah,
you know, and you know, ours starts with what, a sketch. Sometimes we have to, you know, do samples, but we don't do them ourselves. We have like sample makers to do that, and then execute the look from thought to 3D.
So I think like concept wise, yeah, it's pretty close.
What do you guys do? Like, in other words, because they had to make... do you guys actually make the actual look, or is it someone who does that?
No, we have resource groups that...
And they're the ones actually sew it, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. How do they make... like, there's, like, little... I mean, I don't know if you can get into this, but, like...
they make pattern. They have pattern. They're pattern makers.
There's no, but how do they make, like, little shoes or toys and stuff?
So we have sculptors that sculpt bodies and shoes, mm-hmm, and print them out, and we get them painted, and...
Do you guys do any actually hands-on, hobby? Do you guys do hands-on, I have to make this or put this on?
Sometimes I'll, like, put things together, mm-hmm, like, with existing stuff. But mm-hmm, Natalie actually taught me how to put glitter on clothes.
What?
Well, this is when we used to do the glitter. But a sample maker taught me.
Yeah.
So you'd, like, put the glitter in a cup, and then he would put netting on top of the cup, like with a rubber band to hold it, and then you use it as a shaker, and you just spray, you spray them out, spray the fabric, and then you just.
But imagine though, when you're first creating a doll, you have to maybe just for your head have some sort of like practical thing that you do just to see like, am I on the right track, or is it like.
Yeah, well, I came from toy, so my I'm very, it was very different because I didn't know anything about like fabric or like silhouettes or like, so I had to basically learn all that from the bottom up.
Oh, you're so funny. You're saying things I don't know you're interested. What do you mean you came from toy?
So I, like for, I came from fashion, like my major was fashion.
Yeah, so she knew about fabric and construction.
And his major was toy design.
Interesting. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So well, you guys have two different perspectives. So when is it, do you guys have two different focuses? Like is the fashion more important to you, but to you maybe like the fun practical aspect is more fun and more important to you?
I think
that's our strengths, because I feel like features and stuff initially when I first got there scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, we it's part of our job, we do it, but, and I'm more comfortable with it, but I think fashion and looks and styling comes easiest and fastest to me. And sometimes the other part, you know, is a little slower.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the opposite. So like features and stuff, it's more natural, but like fashion, it takes me a while to get there. Like I have a harder time, like getting there.
So, okay. So then you're watching this. Could you, how do you think you guys would do? You would probably do quite well because you come from fashion. Do you think you'd be able to do it too?
I think I would. Because I think if it's toyetic, I would understand how to do it.
If you, even in such a short amount of time?
I mean, you could just hot glue that shit.
Oh. Sometimes we have to do things in a short amount of time.
How, you know, I didn't even think about this and then putting you guys on the spot. What would you do? What, do you guys know what you guys would have done in this challenge?
I don't know. It depends. Like, because I feel like this was a very broad theme. Like, to me, my interpretation of doll could be anything. I could do a freaking, I could do like a real existing doll, right? And do an homage to a doll. Or I could be like, you know, what if I just felt like doing an alien rabbit doll? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It just depends what I was thinking or feeling.
Hobby? My doll would have long hair. long hair.
Yeah.
I'd probably want a fashion transformation.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I mean, sparkly, glittery, big purse, big earrings. Yeah.
I wonder, this is a question I wonder if you guys can even answer for whatever number of reasons. But like, I often notice when I see both of you guys doing like drawings that you post on social media or whatever, there's like a sort of like Chicano aesthetic, you know, to it. But you don't really see that in dolls. And yet, I think that would be kind of big.
Hell yeah.
And Bratz kind of brushes by it. And those are huge, very popular.
Yes. Okay. I think it's needed. I think it's needed. That's where I'm going to stop.
Okay, yeah. And so, so when you see this, but so do you think that there is a relationship, hobby, between like drag queens and toys? Why are they always sort of like...
Because I think it's playful, it's fun, it's camp, it's over the top. I think it's
extreme.
Exaggerated femininity kind of thing. And okay, well, like if there was anybody who wanted to enter, like what are, let me rephrase the question because it's not even the same question. What did you see today on the episode that sort of triggered something in you from work? Like either a memory when you first started or... like, oh, this reminds me of this. Was there anything that triggered you like, oh, this reminds me of work? Was there anything that was...
I think every time I watch it, I think of work when they're in the workroom.
Oh, even when they're not even doing dolls.
Yeah, when they're in the workroom.
That reminded me more of school. Okay. That I felt that like pressure a little bit. Like,
okay, work is like when Rue comes in and like comes with a different like, and then you have to do this. You're like, what? So that maybe kind of be, could be like work. Because sometimes things will come up and you're like, what do I have to do? When do I have to do it?
Yeah.
Because one time in school we had a doll class and we had to create the body ourselves and the clothes and like the accept. It was such a nightmare. It reminded me of that. It like gave me a little PTSD.
I was asking you, oh, what was something you were saying? Remember we were like, I'm like, talk about this on the show. You were like,
oh, the wigs.
Oh, the wigs.
Yeah. What were you saying about the wigs?
Just because it's something that...
Oh, because the wig fell off. And I said, oh, he needs some tape on that. Yeah. And then you're like, you tape the wigs?
Yeah.
And...
Oh, yeah. You tape the wigs? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because
it... it's a ball doll.
But at what stage are we seeing this in the creation of dolls?
Like beginning stages.
Yeah, like how long does it take to go from idea in your head to like finished like prototype?
It depends. It could be... It depends.
It could be as short as what?
A week.
Oh, a week? Yeah.
To 2 weeks, uh-huh, to like a couple months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. To me, in my head, it was always going to be closer to a couple months. Not even just because of the actual practical matter, just because of just...
It depends on the project, because sometimes project will just come up and be like, oh, we got, you know, this person, or mm-hmm, or we, you know, someone's asking for this, and it's like, oh, but they need it by this time, you know, mm-hmm, so... Sometimes you have to rush, or it's a normal process where it's a couple of months and it goes through all the rest of the milestones.
Whenever you guys are on, one of the questions something people ask is like, they're like, how close is what doll design does, because it's little clothes, mm-hmm, to actual like regular size people clothes?
It's different.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you're working on a doll body, right? It's sometimes some dolls aren't articulated. Some are, some aren't. And then it also, a lot of it has to do with the fabrication that you use, because, you know, obviously in real fashion, you're going to use more beautiful fabrics and, you know, sometimes we're reduced to what we could afford, which is tricot. And
yeah. And then sometimes if you can't use real people fabric on dolls because, mm-hmm, the print is so big, you have to kind of work with that as well.
Now, that said, you guys have both designed numerous dolls. You guys have both designed numerous dolls between you. Have you guys ever been out in the wild at a convention or something and seen one of your designs on a full-size person that someone has replicated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that weird? Is it like
odd? It's awesome.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys, when you're making a doll, do you guys actually do a full-size one just to see what it looks like?
No.
Okay.
So seeing it full-size on a person
cool.
Yeah.
And other people who do a good job doing it, like,
oh my god.
I'm like, oh, really? They're like,
every detail they get, like, even from the shoes.
Yeah.
They will do shoes.
So it doesn't look sloppy or anything?
No, they are really? So detailed.
Really good. Huh. Somebody, like, went and, like, found the embroidery and hired, like, somebody, mm-hmm, to do it. I was like, I cannot believe, like, it was so close to it. Like, I could not find one in perfection.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And do you have to take pictures with those bigger? Can I take a picture with you?
We do. Yeah.
Oh, that is so interesting. So for people who want to be doll designers, or they see this, or kids, whoever's listening, they want to do this, what would be the advice? How do you get into this?
Javi, I'll let you answer that.
Definitely, like, it would help if you went to school for fashion, for toy design, for product, or even for illustration. Mm-hmm. And I think once you do that, I think the school will help you get an internship.
Okay.
And I think that will be great, because that's how you learn the process, mm-hmm, of what really goes into making a toy or a doll or package anything. Mm-hmm. And then from there, that you kind of just, that's your first foot in the door.
Yeah, because there's so much to learn once you get there.
Yeah.
Oh, so like there's nothing that can prepare you for what
happened. You either sink or you swim.
Yeah, I interned and I was like, oh, I didn't even, what I thought how to make a toy was completely different.
Do you ever see people who in theory should be like really talented, but they sink for whatever reason because like they're just not good at some other aspect? Maybe they have a good fashion mind, but they're just not good at a different aspect?
Yeah, and sometimes it's, you know, it's...
It's not the right fit.
Yeah. Or there's a lot of... Sometimes it could be really fast-paced.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're not used to... They want to have it at their own pace. All right. Well, any last words for anybody, Javi?
I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Yeah, I think episode. It was a little... Yeah, I think it was good. You know what's so funny is, I mean, we're so lucky that, like, I'm related to Natalie, and she knows you, and you're my friend, too. I hope he's...
Yeah. What if I was like, no, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I had all my offensive topics I wanted Javi to talk about, but I didn't have to do it. But, so, like, what an interesting... Because it is such a niche...
Very niche.
Very niche. ...that people do. Mm-hmm. That, like, people are always very interested and have a ton of... What is the most common question you get?
I always hear, oh, when are you going to make a... When are you going to make, like, you know... And I'm like... I don't know.
Can you say that again and just say, when are we going to make a Latina doll?
When are we going to make a Latina doll? Oh, yes. Thank you.
I don't want to get a call. I'm going to have to go edit the show. What about you, Javi?
I always get like, you know what you guys should do?
Yeah.
I always get that. Yeah.
But does anybody ever have a good idea where you're like, oh, that is a good idea?
Yeah, but I can't use that.
Oh, once they say it, I can't use that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, because then they could get sued.
So don't say anything to us.
Yeah, don't give us any ideas, anyone.
Yeah, ever. Okay, well, we'll call it a day there. Thank you guys so much. And now we're going to go have dinner.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/dragrace.